Good morning, everybody, or good afternoon, I should say, everybody. We've been spending a little time this morning enjoying the presence of the Lord, and now we're enjoying Him this afternoon. I think it gets better and better all the time, amen? I was at a church in Korea where they have 7 services in the day, so it goes on all day long, starting at 7 in the morning, ending at 7 at night. And people are rejoicing, praising God, believing that God is doing great things in the face of whatever happens. And God is. This is the day for the people of God to stand up and be seen for the who they know that they are. And we are the children of Jesus. Amen. He lives in us, and He's a winner. Amen. How good it is to be a part of what He is doing. Just a quick word of thanks. I didn't have a chance to do that in the first service, but anything given to us around my birthday, thank you so much. We appreciate that. Some people say to me, what does it feel like to be 70? Just the same as it was when I was 69 or 29, whatever it is. It's just another year, but I believe the future is great, amen? And we're all a part of this great thing together. We need to get this. Something is moving. Something is changing. The Spirit of God is moving in Toronto City Church. I sense a rising of the Spirit, and His presence is working so strongly. This is the day to believe God like never before. And we must have leadership that helps us to understand that Jesus won, so we win. Amen. And that's what's been happening here. I've enjoyed so much going through with Pastor Brendan, watching the videos the last little while, and everything that he has said about winning. Because I sense this, and I want to say this to you, Pastor Brendan, and Sharon too, that this is why I'm drawn to you so much, is because I know you genuinely have a spirit to win, but more than that, you want everyone else to win. And that's what makes a strong church. And God is raising something up here that's very special, and we need to rejoice in the Lord, amen? This is the time for us to be happy. So many people say, well, there's too many problems to be happy. Come on, church, when did you ever not see problems in the earth? The Church of Jesus is trained to be the ones that overcome and help everyone to rise up through difficulties and see the glory of God come. Amen. So I enjoyed the worship today. Oh, how good it was. I love the words of some of the songs that are given to us. Singing to Jesus, which I think is very important in worship. But at the same time, singing it from people who know who they are. We're singing to Him with such praise because we know we are the children of God. And the glory of God is in us to do great things in Jesus' name. Amen? So this is such a great time. Let's rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I started with that this morning. I have something that I want to share with you. I'm calling it a burning passion to win. Say that with me, everybody. A burning passion to win. If you're going to win, you have to have passion. This is so important. And so that's what I want to talk to you about. And it's important that we see it. But anyway, I'm going to be sharing Philippians chapter 5, or chapter 3, pardon me, verses 5 to 14. And that's what I had planned to talk about. But as I was looking at this scripture just, I think, yesterday a little bit, and noticing how this chapter began here, something just was stirring in my spirit that I think is so important that we see this about praise and worship and an attitude of rejoicing such as we had here this morning. Look at this. This is verse 1 of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Here's how it starts. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. He goes on to say, I never get tired of telling you these things to rejoice. I do it to safeguard your faith. Because without faith, you can't please God. All the things of God are accomplished by faith. And how you keep an attitude of faith is by having a rejoicing heart. So sing. Shout as you did today. Didn't we have a good time with the shout? I even believe the dance will come back to the church again. Rejoicing is coming to the house of the Lord. I'm saying to you, church, this morning, go for it. God is looking for a happy, rejoicing people. And so is the world. The world wants us to be happy. That's what they're looking for in us. And I pray that we'll enter into it with joy. Do it at home, too. Is that okay? Find a spot somewhere. Find a spot somewhere where you can shout if you want to shout. And rejoice in the Lord. The apostle wanted us to know that in the face of all of this, even that we're talking about this subject this morning. This afternoon. So this is so very good for us to understand this and know that we're at a great time in this house. I really believe it's divinely given that God has spoken to you, Pastor, and called us again to come back to this truth that we win because Jesus won. And that needs to stay in our hearts all the time. It's so important. I enjoyed all your points when you were giving 12 points. In fact, I laughed to myself a couple of times when I saw what you were presenting and how important it is. And I was receiving it into my spirit some. And all the points were terrific, all those 12 points you were presenting. But I felt two were really important, the first and the last. Get connected with Jesus and never give up. Get connected with Jesus and never give up. Now, a lot of people tend to think, well, I get connected with Jesus at salvation, and you do. That's for eternal life. But if you don't stay connected with Jesus every day in your prayer life, in your shouting life, in your rejoicing life, in everything that you do, you will not attain the power of God in this life. Amen, everybody. So it's important that we understand that and that we stay connected. That's the only thing that's brought me through many, many difficulties in life, is an understanding and knowing that my times of devotion with the Lord, my times of being alone with prayer, however long they are in the morning, are the times that you receive the indwelling strength. And so the connection is meant to be there all the time. Amen. Amen. Turn to someone and say, we are connected in Jesus' name. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Father. Father, touch our hearts again this afternoon as we share these things. We know that your word is true. We know that your word is power. We know that you've been sharing some things for some time during these last few days and encouraging us to get a grip on this, that we're winners because Jesus won. We ask you, Lord, to do a great work with passion in our spirits. Revive stolen passion. Stir us up again, O God, so that we're a passionate people who live with the joy of the Lord in our hearts and want to see your work done, to see people gathered in and the great plan of God cover the earth. Father, do a mighty work in us today. Help us to hear everything that you say to us, and may it go deep, deep into our heart and spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and everybody shout it, amen and amen. A burning passion to win. I've always had a desire to win, as long as I can remember anyway. I think it was God that placed that in our spirit some time ago, even when I was a child. But I've been captivated by watching people that win in life, do certain things. I think some of it's done with a wrong spirit, but underlining in it all is a capacity that God gives people to win. Winning is a part of life. Winning is God's purpose, and he wanted us to understand this. A lot of people, even before they come to know Jesus as Savior and Lord, try to win at certain things, and they do succeed from time to time. And that's an important thing for us to see, because at birth, God makes every person in his image. Is that correct? Everyone is born in the image of God, and if God is a winner, thus we then are winners. He puts that spirit deep inside of us to be an overcoming, winning people. Now, it's important that through all of this, we learn to win for Jesus, because this is more important than anything else and gives us the upper edge in life over everyone else to go way, way beyond. And so we do that when we understand that we must know that God gives this spirit to us. I shared this morning, I've watched the last little while with the professional golfer, Tiger Woods. Now I know, you know I know, God knows he lived many sinful situations in his life. God understands sin, that's why he sent Jesus. We understand it, so we're not judgmental. We understand that people go through things in life before they come to truth. But nevertheless, in his life, he seems to have this incredible desire to win at what he's trying to do. So he won 14 majors, and then for 14 years, he hasn't won anything. And still had a driving desire to come back and win again. It's quite a feat. Whether we like it or not, whether we enjoy golfing or not, it's a tremendous feat the way he came back, won another major, his fifth, and now his 15 majors, because I believe the driving thing that's in his heart is to win more major tournaments than anyone else in the world. And seeing Jack Nicklaus won 18, he's going to try, I think, to win 19, I guess it is. And he would then have three more to go, or whatever it is. That's a desire to win. Now, some people might say, Pastor Paul, are you turned on by that? Well, I'm turned on by the spirit of winning that I believe comes from God. And God wants to give it again fresh in his church so that we will conquer for the cause of Jesus. This is what's so important in our life, that we know God wants winners. We have the leading advantage if we would only receive like we've been trained and taught for these last few weeks, over and over and over again. Pastor Brennan would say this: you are winners because Jesus won. You are winners because Jesus won. You are winners because Jesus won. As I looked at the thing morning over, he said, it's me again. Pastor Brennan, you are winners because Jesus won. And you have an advantage. And God wants us to so get this in our spirit in this age. We are living in an age of demonstration of the winning spirit to the world. The world hasn't totally seen it as yet, but they will see it. And they'll see it because we believe it. It's rising up here. Would you agree with me? There's a spirit that's rising up here to win for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I'm saying this even through all kinds of circumstance. The circumstance will bow. Everything bows to who Jesus is. Come on, church. This is so exciting what God is sharing with us. I'm just kind of on the edge of my seat again with joy in my heart, choosing to rejoice because of what the Lord is saying to us here. Philippians chapter 3, I'm reading from verses 5 to 14. I had a little problem with this morning because they say I'm developing cataracts a little bit in my eyes. You need to pray with me, would you? Would just pray with me that God will help me with that too, because after all, I am 70 years of age. Isn't that awful? Okay, here we go. Verse 5. This is what the Apostle Paul said. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. Everybody say, wow. Wow. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel. Wow. And a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Wow. A real Hebrew, if ever there was one. Wow. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. Wow. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. Wow. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I considered myself perfect. Wow. Isn't it great? If anyone could say he had the credentials to win by man's ways to try to find spiritual help and direction, he had it. But it all meant nothing to him when he understood who Jesus was. And he understood the principle that causes every person of God to overcome. And that's what God is training us about right now. is to live our lives consistently knowing this truth as he did. Until we come to the end of our life and we can clearly say, I have finished the course. I have run the race. And I know Jesus wins. God is looking for us to rise up and be that people. So look at verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable. But now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when it compares with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage. Quite the word, isn't it? So that I could gain Christ and become one with him, I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or the other, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. That's what circumstance is about. It's another chance for resurrection, for us to rise up in the power of God. Now look with me in verse 12. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Hallelujah. So he had this driving desire to win and finish the call of Jesus on his life. Every one of you in this room this morning have a call. Before the foundation of the earth, God knew what he was doing in your life. Every time I hear the story of another little one, I love his name, Titus. Amazing. I don't remember the last time I heard a child called that name. That's excellent. But right there, as I sat right back there again, I had visions this morning. And understood that that little one that's born has a calling on his life. And God has a purpose for him to fulfill. And God wants him to have a winning attitude. How important it is that parents and those who lead in the church and everything else we do would put this winning spirit within us. And believe that we are winners by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The other story that I have watched a little bit the last little while because it caught my attention. I've said to you here before, I'm not a person that watches a whole lot of movies. And the reason I don't is because I'm not religious about it, because I will watch a movie. But I'm not religious about it. I believe that every good believer should use his ability to choose. And so much of what's seen in Hollywood today is all about two things, killing and sex. Killing and sex. Killing and sex. Killing and sex. You get tired of it after a while, I hope. And God has something else for us. But there's good things to choose. Is that okay? Because we're not living a religious life. We're living a life that honors the Lord Jesus. So I watched this documentary the other day that was called Free Solo. Did anybody ever see it yet? You did watch it. You forgot what it was about. Did you see it? Yeah. Unbelievable. 3,200 feet. 3,200. It was amazing, Sean. Unbelievable. Now, I hope you watch it because it was a good thing to see about the winning part of it. That was all real good. In fact, his name is Alex Hanold, and he is one of the best mountain climbers of the world. And he wanted to climb this mountain called El Capitan California that's not just a mountain, but it's the face of a mountain. I mean, it goes straight up, in my mind, straight, a cliff for 3,200 feet. And mountain climbers for years have climbed it, but there has never been a person that climbed it without ropes and safety gear. Now this, I don't want to say goof because that's not what I'm trying to totally say. But there is a goofy part of it. Because I wouldn't challenge God myself, but he decided that he was going to climb it without safety gear. Now, if you look at this thing, he was standing on ledges with his toes or hanging with his fingers, ledges that I'm convinced weren't a half an inch or an inch wide, going up the face of that cliff, and determined to finish, to win that situation. Had that desire in his heart. And if you watch him do this, it's amazing to see the feat that he accomplished. Now, even though I heard about this story before I watched this, that he did it, I'm sitting there all the time while I'm watching thinking, oh my God, he could fall. Just one slip and he's gone. But he had this driving determination to do something that no one else has done. Now for God, I don't think we should have a driving temptation to do anything that anyone else has done. Because we have the one living in our lives who has done it all. And the one who has done it all is the one who calls us to live by his power. And there's nothing in life that compares to what Jesus has done to win for us. Absolutely nothing. So anyway, Alex, when he finished this climb, I listened to him talk, and the documentary talks about what he had to say a little bit, and he said, I did this because it was the closest to perfection that I could get. And that's where I say, whoa, whoa, whoa. That's a great feat, but it does not compare to perfection that's found in Christ Jesus. Nothing. This is perfection, what Jesus has done. And that's the one who has chosen to live inside of us. Hallelujah. And say, I give you the power to win. Because it's not your power, it's my power. And it'll function through you if you choose to live by it. Wouldn't it be great to have a church that just, and I think this is happening here, that's filling up with people who get it, who get it, who get it, who get it, and they live it. And God will give us the strength to overcome and be a sign and a wonder to Toronto, to the nation, to the world, that God is true to his word and Jesus truly has won the victory in us. The thing interesting is for us to see that he manifests this victory through us. And he wants us all the time to get the message. And sometimes we need to be reminded. I'm hoping and praying that this time, Pastor Brendan, that you've brought this reminder to the church, that it sticks. That it really, really sticks. That he has won the victory and we win the victory through his life. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All the work is to be done in us. Another interesting thing that happened the last little while in our world is that Notre Dame church burned down. And everybody was so hepped over the fact, you know, that this was so so amazing that this church would burn down as if God would lose all hope. Well, I acknowledge a beautiful building, and a beautiful building that's built for God. But listen, the beautiful building is not the thing. The important thing is the people who dwell in the church of Jesus Christ, and they've been given the life to overcome and win in Jesus' name. This is God's purpose for us. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Three quick points that I want you to see. The first one is this, the great exchange. As I give you these three points, and I want to help you understand it, It's important to know what Christ has done totally so that we have the victory in our lives and we can win as he wants us to win. This is so important for us to see. But what I want you to see, he has given to us that which no one else can give. And what he gives, no one else would give. All these things that he has given to us are very, very important. But he could do it because he was God. And he has given these things into our spirit as we believe through faith. But we have to grab onto it and know that we have it. Number one is the great exchange. The greatest story that was ever told. That phrase has been used for hundreds of years in the Church of Jesus Christ. The great exchange. Because it speaks of where Jesus took our sin and our death. And he gave us his righteousness. So he takes the sin on the cross. It's nailed on the cross to him. The sin is taken and he gives us righteousness. That's the great exchange that we all need to understand to be in a conquering, winning mode. It's his passion toward us or to us. His passion to us is that he took our sin and he gave us his righteousness. And the scripture that helps us understand that is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, church, for the great exchange. It's the greatest thing that's been done in the earth. And it belongs to you. But you need to believe it. I listened to a religious leader from one of the great religions of the world just a short time ago. And people were asking him questions. And they asked him questions about Jesus. He said that he believed that Jesus was a man. And he did great miracles, wonderful things he did on the earth. But the one thing he cannot accept is that Jesus took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Well, don't believe it then. Everyone has a choice. But this truth is filling the earth. It's the truth that changes everything. It's what makes the difference. Jesus became the substitution for our sin. He took our sin and gave us his righteousness. Hallelujah. Rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Amen. The great exchange. Number two is the great passport. Now, the great exchange that I just explained there in a moment, our righteousness, we don't give it away. Jesus gave us his righteousness, but we don't do that. Our righteousness is an important thing, and we hold on to it, and it's important for our lives as we live the life that God wants us to give. But I want to make this point to you that Jesus gave what others will not. The second thing he gave is his passport or his identification. How many of you would give away your identification? How many of you go online and just put your passport everywhere? Anybody? You tell everybody, this is my identification. Take it, use it for whatever you want. We don't do that. But Jesus did that. He gives us his identification. We identify with who he is. We become everything that he is. And he had the right, because he was God, to do that for us. This is why we need to rejoice again and be excited in the things God has given us. Firstly, the great exchange, but secondly, the great passport. This is his passion in us. He puts in us his identification. I believe that the Canadian passport is one of the best passports of the world. And I'm glad wherever I travel, and lately we've been traveling quite a bit, that I have the passport in my pocket. Because there's always someone asking me for it. And I'm glad to let people know who I am, but I don't give it to somebody else. In fact, I guard it with my life. My wife is worse than I am. She is always asking me, where's your passport? Where's your passport? She saved my life a couple of times. I can tell you honestly. Identification is important. But Jesus gave the identification to us. All that I have, he says, becomes in you. And it dwells in you to do my will and purpose. This is the awesome power and supernatural power of God to perform God's purposes in our lives. Hallelujah. It's God's plan for us. Number three is the great disclosure. And I think it's important that we understand this too. For this is where His passion flows through us. For God is allowing Jesus now to be disclosed to the world. And the way that He is disclosed to the world is through you and I living a winning life. And so the disclosure that's taking place is through us. Just the other day, I was having my oil changed at one of those oil change places. And the serviceman was by my side. The window was rolled down. He was talking to me all the time. And just the way he kept on talking kept me talking more and kept me thinking more. So he talked, I talked, we kept talking to one another. By that moment, he stops for a moment, and he says, "I think you sound like a believer." And I said, "I think you sound like a believer." And all of a sudden, just out of normal talk, we understood who we were, and he began to share things with me about his life and told me how that he had had lung cancer. Had one lung removed, and then the cancer went from the other lung and circled his heart. And the doctor said he only had just a few months to live. And he stood there by my side, and he said, "But for Jesus, who won the victory, listen to me, church, not only over your sin, but over your sickness." And he took disease, and this man said to me, "I believe that Jesus took it, and he took it out of my body." And he said, "I've been celebrating healing ever since." That was just somebody that was disclosed to me on the street. The great disclosure is taking place. And it's through your life. Now let me say this to you. Most of you, or all of you, I think all of you, as me too, we don't disclose everything about ourselves. Anybody here discloses everything about yourself? No, you don't do that, do you? Why don't you do that? Why don't you disclose everything about your life? Because you don't want everybody to know everything about your life. But not with Jesus. Jesus, the perfect one, the Son of the living God, who gave His blood that we would live. Jesus, the perfect one, God Almighty, doesn't worry about disclosure. And He's in the plan of disclosing Himself to the whole world. And He wants to do it through you and me. Hallelujah. That's why I love winners like you folks here. This long relationship that we've had with Jair and Norma, I know it was birthed in them from those early years to be winners in the kingdom of God. God wants us to win. We just returned from Sri Lanka, and we were 3 weeks in Sri Lanka and India. The time we had in India was where we have a ministry center that has been there for years, that we started some years ago, and so it was a thrill to go back after all these years and be with Manova again and share the principles and all the things that's going on. He shared with me at one moment, he said, "Pastor, I just want you to understand that 1,800 pastors have gone out to pastor churches since this school was established." That just burned a hole in our hearts. And I said, as I said this morning already, and I say it again to all of you, this is where you're having a part too. You have a part not only through our lives, but through everything that you do for the cause of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is winning through your life. Please hear me. You may think it's not, but He is winning in your life. And we need to acknowledge that to the glory of God. This is the first time that we had gone to Sri Lanka. We had never been there before. And the door had opened up through a pastor that's here in the city that I've known for many, many years. And he wanted us to come because he was building a training center. It's absolutely a beautiful training center with a large men's dorm, a large women's dorm, a large meeting center, a large cafeteria. Absolutely everything's in place. I was just amazed at what he has seen accomplished already. He was gathering together the leaders of pastors from Sri Lanka. There are 25 political districts in the country. And the church has come together now with pastoral leadership. with pastoral leadership, which is so united, like I have never seen it united anywhere that I've gone in the world. They are come together from every denomination, from every background, spirit-filled people from every denomination are standing together for the move of God in their country. And so the pastors have come together, and in every district of the 25 districts, they have 10 leaders who are over the pastors. So 10 leaders in 25 districts, that makes 250 people that came together as leaders for us to help speak into their lives about what God was doing. It was an amazing opportunity. And both my wife and I were so amazed, we commented to ourselves then and ever since, we have never seen such a spirit of agreement where the church is standing together and starting to believe together for what God wants to do. Before these meetings happened, they called for pastors to come and pray, and 1,400 pastors came for 3 days of fasting and prayer and went to the highest mountain in Sri Lanka and spoke the power of God over the country, declaring that all the deception and the curse would break in the name of Jesus and that the life of Jesus would prosper. Unbelievable. When that was finished, over 18,000 young people, now young people, gathered together to believe for the same thing in their country. Something is happening in that land. And I share with you this morning, it is because they have walked through and constantly had a spirit of winning. They have walked through many circumstances. The country was in civil war for 30 years. 30 years of civil war. The man that we went with, who's pastoring now in the city, told us of childhood days when he was in Colombo, Sri Lanka, and he saw literally the Sinhalese army coming in to take the Tamils and take little children and babies and smash them up against the wall to take their life. There was so much that has taken place, I can hardly imagine what happened. But through it, the church has risen with a winning spirit. They're winning and believing that they can conquer over absolutely everything. With that being said, and us so rejoicing in it and everything, and wanting even to come here and talk just like I've talked, and saying what has happened, the events of last week took place. And the bombings took place in that country. Our hearts were broken for the people because we know what they've been through and what we saw and where God has his church. Zion Church, which is in Batikaloa, which was the place where we had our meetings, the pastor's convention was in Batikaloa, was the place where Zion Church is, and it was one of the places that were bombed. The pastor of that church was one of the main organizers in our meetings. And he was the one that caused so many people to come together and stand as one in Christ Jesus. Did a tremendous job. And in his church, when the bomb went off, 28 were killed. They say that nearly 20 of them were children because the bomber tried to go into the Christian education place where the children were. He actually asked if he could go in and take a video. One of the leaders said no and ushered him out. And as he was being ushered out, he detonated the bomb. And less life was taken than could have been taken. But nevertheless, it has put a hole in so many people's hearts. It's unbelievable what I've heard ever since, though, because the pastor that we went with and others have been talking to me all week long and saying to me, Pastor, there's a spirit of forgiveness that's already rising up in the church in Sri Lanka. They don't want civil war, or they don't want anything to come back. They want Jesus to win in that country. And he said, there's a desire and a determination to win for Jesus like never before. One of the pastors of that church was away leading a worship celebration at another church. And when he came back, it was his own 14-year-old son who died in the blast. But he again has a tremendous heart to see what God's doing. God is doing something like never before. And what I want to say to you this morning, listen to me, church. If we have brothers and sisters who so overcome in their life in the world that they can handle what takes place and they conquer through faith in Jesus, you can too if you'll trust and believe God. All things are possible to those who believe. Let's rise up with a winning spirit. Would you all say amen and amen? Let's stand together, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for Toronto City Church. I thank you for your presence here that helps us to understand everything. And we know not you or we don't look for things to go wrong. We look for things to go your way. But we understand and know that in this life, there are things that happen, and we're called to rise up in you by your tremendous power. I ask you again this morning to come to us together and to stir us with a newfound burning passion to win for your sake. May there be a passion that rises in our hearts that is so supernatural. May we love to be a part of what you're doing and declare your purposes everywhere. Let the love of God fill this city and the country through us all together. Continue to work with all the leadership, with Pastor Brendan and Sharon and everyone here that carry that attitude as they teach the Spirit right down to all of the children, believing that your glory will prosper in this place. We thank you for the passion that you've given us. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen.